Okay, so Milesim. Some of you heard about it. Some of you even participated in initial creation and specs. And today we were going to have more broad discussion about it and share what's going on, where we are. And is it better? And what's the future plans for it? So it's a new tool, it's command line that automates Outlook in some defined and repeatable way. The general idea is to have some tools that can simulate real client. And the simulation should go over hours, days, weeks, for a long time. So the way it works, it takes the real core Outlook, real Outlook, and it automates its operations. To automate, we use what we call user profile, which is basically sequence of operations that you can define. And those configuration files, they dictate type of operations, the number, duration, scale, sequence and format. Also important that program requirements are driven by protocol implementers. Customers are WAN accelerators, archiving security. It is also going to be useful for exchange sizing and load. We had interest from Microsoft Professional Services and Exchange Server implementers. So why? We for a long time we have implemented an internal requests for tool like that, and nothing really exists that does exactly that. There is Load-Gen, but it's not exactly this kind of simulation. It's not real Outlook traffic, and it will never be. You cannot use different versions. This tool is expected to complement our protocol test suites. Today on our events, on our IOL apps, we use Outlook automation, which is not predictable in many ways. So this tool should complement those events and activities as well. And the way how we want to do it is open source. Open source, and we are starting it, planting a seed, and expect others to contribute. So schedule and way to release. It was announced on European Plugfest. Had some feedback there. Here it's also available, and we expect to get some testing and feedback. And then we're going to release via open source. This is somewhat of the schedule came from our internal review, but I specifically decided not to remove the dates, but everybody knows that software. And it's released.
It's too small, we can't see it.
So far, we're staying on schedule.
I thought it was intentional.
What? What was that? Sorry, I didn't hear it.
It's intentionally small.
Yeah, yes, of course. Well, why don't you sit here? We tried to fill the first row. And we still didn't succeed in there. So design principle. First, it's designed with virtual machines in mind. That we can have multiple clients. Something that wasn't possible like 10 years ago for sure when Load-Gen was a tool of choice. So each client runs one Outlook 2013. we use Outlook object model, and we have operations and sequences. Operations and sequences, I already mentioned, define user profile. We log each and every operation and new mail event. And the idea behind this design is that it will make log-based verification possible. We should have enough information just in the log to then parse the log and say what went right and what went wrong. Like, I sent that many mails, here is a list of recipients. If I have centralized log, I can actually correlate and see, did I get all the mails? And if we have enough good information in the log, like hash of the body, hash of the attachment, number of attachments, you can do really interesting verification with that. The only caveat that it's not implemented yet. And that's why I'm saying let's go to next picture. But one more point here, and we will go on that. Clients are independent. They don't know about each other like in the real world. If I send mail to somebody, I don't tell them, hey, I sent you mail. You just get mail, you know I did. If you didn't get the mail, you don't know, you will never know that it was sent. Same here. So clients are really, they should be lightweight and disposable. Okay. So this picture includes two phases, but it's important to keep in mind both at the beginning. This is not implemented yet. This is not going to be implemented in the first phase. Only thing that implemented is blue. And of course, we work with Outlook and we work with system on the test. We discussed it, we feel that that's sufficient to start and to put some directions in the project. It's also important to put some discuss design principles for the future. But we really want community to participate. Today, it was just two of us who are working on it. That's it. It's not enough to do this in quickly. Let me say this way. Plus, we may not know what real implementers need, what man in the middle solutions, what kind of automation will serve them. We are at the point when we want to stop and get feedback, get contributions. So what's here? You see there is A, B, and C. So in details, the central server that should be defining profiles, payloads for client machines. It should just initiate machines. And it should also keep central log in the system. And system central log storage will, again, enable log-based verification. Client machines generate actual traffic, and they should be disposable. There is no persistent information there. They do something, they do logging, that's it. If it dies, it dies. Nobody cares. Well, with one exception, you need to have enough time to get new mail notifications logged. And system under test, anything that Outlook will work with. As simple as that. Plus, you can configure, of course, obviously, you can configure it as MapHTTP, RPC, or TCP. Well, if client supports it. But there's a lot of flexibility. The price for that is, virtual machines, there is memory, there is hardware. Current version I experimented works with 3 gigs, but we should work on improving memory footprint of this thing. So, sequences and operations. The two files that define user profile, sequence XML, define the flow of operations. What operations should be used, how many times, and what is sleep between them. Operations XML define operations for sequence XML. So the idea here is that operations file is reusable between clients, and you can use different sequences like high load, high user, high volume user, or low, slow user. Here's an example. Not sure if you can see it. Definitely, please. So anyway, sequence. You see multiple runs with five iterations. That's operation group, and this group will use operations XML file, do five iterations, and sleep 2 minutes between them. And then it's going to do send mail to myself, sleep 10 seconds, send mail to store attachments, and so on. Sequence XML defines what it is. Like if you look at mail sent to random recipients, five random recipients and five attachments, what it means is it will get distribution list MailSim users, pick five random users from it, send to it. And using like up to five attachments from this folder. This will create remnants, which I think is going to be close enough to real life, real behavior. And you define those operations. Pui is going to do demo and go in more details and like show you the real files and how this works. We defined eight operation types. There is mail send, mail delete, reply, forward, move, then folder create, delete, and event monitor. This is a way to register for event notifications for particular folders. By default, we register for inbox. And here is like how they correlate. So operations file use prescribed operation types, which are only eight of them, but you can create a large number of operations based on that. Code organizations, organization. There are two separate code areas. We have wrap, okay. Yeah, but flow is not random. No.
Something interesting.
But we also, you see, we also wanted not, we don't want it to be too random, so that it's repeatable. You will not reproduce the same random sequence, or the same random attachments, and same recipients.
Yeah, so when I run this test tomorrow, the random sequence will be the same.
Sequence will be the same because sequence is not random. But recipients and attachments will be random, yes. Yeah, you're right. We create some randomness, but it is some. That's kind of feedback that we need. I don't think it was part of initial design requirements. We should discuss. There are ways to do it. Like, for example, we're designing now, but we can actually specify some, do some randomness here in operations,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like do it or not, or don't do it. Yeah, yeah, it's doable. But doing too much at the very beginning, I don't think will be helpful. Yeah, and we should discuss and like come up with solution for this. So code organization, we separate a core MailSim and Outlook wrapper classes. They are isolated by namespaces, and we should keep it this way, meaning that core MailSim should never call to Outlook in any way. If you need to introduce calendar and just extend wrapper classes for Outlook to include calendar and but wrap them. That's obviously, I don't need to explain probably why it is important, this isolation. It will get ugly very soon if we don't do it. Okay, and what is next? Demo.
Okay, so can you hear me? Okay? All right, so I'm gonna do the fun part during the demo. So a couple of things I want to mention before that. One is, MailSim is actually already on our Connect site. So we published it, I think, last Friday, so you can download the binary. The source code we are working on, releasing it on GitHub, it is actually on GitHub, but it's on the private space right now, private repo. So we are trying to, you know, working with the legal to try to get it public, make it available to you guys. Second is, so this tool actually does whatever, you know, target whatever server you have signed up with Outlook, right? So if you're running, be careful where you run it, right? Because it will send random email and it will do whatever to your Outlook. So if you run it on your production environment, so you have to be very careful.
It will work.
It will send stuff. Trust me, yeah. All right, so. Oh, and the other thing is, right now it does things with mail and folder today. So we don't touch anything related with contacts and calendar and other stuff. So that's what we started with. So let me, hold on. All right. So Andrew walked through most of the kind of the schema, right? So here, I just want to quickly show you. So we have all the operations. And we put a lot of information in the XSD, try to describe, you know, what each field is, what each field does, and so all the details. Probably close, in case you can see, right? This one you can see, yeah. So yeah, so we put in a lot of information about each, you know, what the subject body and then attachment, how you specify a specific attachment versus a random attachment, right? And also recipient. One thing to note is that like for recipient, we work off, we allow you to specify distribution list. So if you specify distribution list, we can do random within the distribution list. So if you put, you know, 10 users within there, we'll just random within it. If you don't specify anything, we will look at your, you know, your address book and random the whole thing. So it, you know, whatever is in there will pick up from, you know, the users from there. For attachment, basically you specify a folder, you specify how many you want to attach, or you can specify a specific file that you want to attach. So we allow you to do both ways. But anyway, so we put in a lot of information in the XSD that allows you to understand what each field does and what you should specify. So on here, so I'm going to show a demo about sending email. I think sending email, moving, and then folders. So first of all, so I will do this. Operation. So I will run this sequence file that specify, you know, the operation group is called demo run send. So you can have multiple groups within the sequence file. And for each group, you can have multiple iterations, multiple slip associated with it. And we allow you to specify the operation file for each sequence. So you can have, you know, 5 sequence files, and we can target each one for each operation or for each sequence. And in this case, I send 2 and the demo I'm going to run, it will pick up 2 recipients with 2 attachments. So on the right side, so this is what it looks like on the actual operation. So the name for the operation, needs to be unique, right? So it's kind of like associate with basically mapping. And in this case, I send it to Pui, at interop or at ointerop.com, which is like an old 365 account that we have. You can do like the actual email address, you can do alias, you can do username. So you can put whatever, just like Outlook, right? And then I'll send with a subject, some body, and then 2 specific attachments. The next one, I'll just pick 5 random recipients with 5 attachments. In this case, I will pick from the MailSimp user, and then I'll pick 5 attachments from this folder. So when I'm run, this is good. So this one's going to be a little bit hard to see. But what it is on the top left side, I have my Outlook running, right? In this case, my Outlook is actually connected to my old 365 account. So on the bottom left is actually my old 365 account on the web. I can't see. So on the right side, what I want to do here is, Andrew mentioned about the monitor operation. So we can monitor, right now we can monitor any of the default folders. So like the inbox, send, junk, delete, all those default folders, right? So I want to show you just to monitor. So what I'm doing right now is to monitor both so by default, the tool will monitor the inbox. But in this case, I actually also monitoring the sent folder. So on the bottom right, this window, I'm monitoring both the inbox and the sent. Probably helpful to make it bigger. Okay. So on the top right window, this is where I'll actually run the tool. So in this case, I'll run the sent sequence. So the tool will run, and then so. Here on Outlook, you can see actually I sent an email. On the O365, I receive an email. On the event, I pick up 1 from the send folder, 1 from the inbox. What is interesting is to notice is also the time, right? So in this case, I'm running off O365, and the turnaround time for that is so I send the email about 2:12:32, and I received an email about 36, so it's about a 4-second turnaround time in this case, just off straight to 0365. So, and all this information is actually logged to an XML file. So we spend a little bit time just, dump everything in there. It can probably be better structured, but right now we just dump everything in there so that you have the information. So I can just show you quickly. And you can, dump the XML file to a network share or just save it to a local drive. So this is what the XML looks like. Basically, it's just the same as the console output. So in this case, I send 2 emails, and I receive 1 email. The random, and the other thing is So we try to handle some, specific or more unique situation where, in this case, I try to specify 5 users from the distribution list, right? But I only have 2 users in there, so I'll just pick those 2 users. Yes?
On the timestamp, let's say that we're interested in the delivery time.
Yes.
So would it be when the mail appears or when the mail ends?
So in our case, so we drive Outlook and the Outlook send. Oh, so the question is about the timestamp, right? How we handle the timestamp. In our case, we log the file when we call Outlook, So when we commit the send to Outlook, then we log it. And then when we receive the email actually within Outlook, so Outlook will then generate a notification to our method. And then our method will put a timestamp and display the message.
And what is that? Do we know when that
identifier when the mail is actually fully received, or is it initially started to receive? That part, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, it'll probably be.
Yes, yes. And this is Outlook view. This is Outlook view of the world. This is not server view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is when Outlook actually processed notification and notify object model that, hey, yeah. I have it.
Okay. Yes.
So until the commit operation of the protocol, the operation is not completed, you won't get
it. Yeah. I don't know about the download case, or like if you attach a 10 megabyte file, right? So when do we get it right when the whole thing is actually downloaded?
Yeah, yeah. So if you talk to Joe, right, all of this is transactional, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do a prepared transaction, then you do the source, you get buffer, you modify all the data, and then you just end the transaction.
Yeah.
Only when that is completed, the client can conclude that the operation succeeded successfully. Otherwise, it can fail.
Mm-hmm. True. Finish. Even near finish, yeah.
So
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Are there any handles on the body of the mail besides just typing it in? Are there some ability like pulling from text files or random bits from text files?
So right now we don't. So right now we allow you to specify within the operation file, you know, what body to put in there. We don't actually pull stuff externally except for the attachment. So that is the only thing we do right now. But it can be extended, right? I mean, yes. Yeah. That's why it's on GitHub. Yes. Yes. So right now, so this one, this tool will actually start Outlook if it is not running. If it's already running, we'll attach to the running instance, right? So so to do it, yes, basically put everything in a script, right? So you can have a script that kick off message analyzer and then run this tool, and this tool will automatically start Outlook and with the profile and with the default profile and then do the operation.
Okay.
So, other interesting, kind of more interesting, that you can actually see it happens moving. So what I'm doing is actually I'm just going to pick some emails from the send folder and move it to a junk folder. So it'll just run and then it picks up the file and then move one. Some bug I need to look at. Yeah, it's on GitHub. Exactly. So we can do send, delete, move. Another interesting thing to see is doing folder. So this is folder create. So what I'm doing here is basically creating like five folders, one every 3 seconds. So you can kind of see the folder popping up in Outlook. And sometime later, Office 365 also pop up here, right? So, and I can also do delete, right? So this case, I'm deleting 3 folders from the inbox, then I'm just boom. So then they're just moving around. So that's how, you know, how overall the mail scene works. It's pretty straightforward. We basically utilize the Outlook object model and, you know, and use the operations available from there. The main logic we put in is just calling Outlook object model and also handling the sequence and operations. That's pretty much it. So the source is actually pretty straightforward, pretty simple. And we'll try to make it available as soon as possible. The tool is available in the lab in your office. So you can start playing with it. We're constantly making, still making changes to it, fixing bugs and checking in. Any question? Yes.
So about the open source, did you talk about the development process? Do you have a plan for meeting, reviewing, how is it going to work?
We are thinking about it.
Yes. Right. We were thinking about
it. I can tell you that license most likely will be MIT.
You'll need to, be like facilitator or all that. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The other thing is, is there any hierarchy assumptions on the profiles and the command files? And if we can include them part of the open source so we can share across,
Eventually,
I can even open a case saying this profile is not working for me because it's on the open source. Mm-hmm. The doc help can go and run it and give it to the developers,
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, everybody knows what everybody is.
That's the idea behind moving it to open source from the very beginning.
Yeah, but is the profile included part of the open source repository?
We have this as samples, mm-hmm. but no, they're not included. We should consider this.
Yes.
That's the suggestion.
Yes, yeah, so that's a good one. Yeah, so now we include, I think, a couple of files in the sample, something that you guys can get.
Yeah, we should probably...
You guys can get yet, so...
we should probably
just to show you it's on GitHub, actually, right? But oops, sorry.
So...
Yes.
The repositories of operations.
Yes, definitely.
And is there any assumption on the file structure, directories like the profiles and operations in the same directory?
So
we have sample folder.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be just folder for operations and folder for sequences. Yep. Something like that.
And you can point it to, because when you, you can point it to the sequence file, then within the sequence file, you specify the operation file. So it can be anywhere. And the log file can be written to, the network as long as you have privilege, right?
Okay.
So, yes.
Do you have memory footprint, minimum footprint that is required to run that in the constraint environment?
Okay.
Yes. So for us, we don't actually have any.
So the question.
Go ahead. Yeah, so the question was, memory footprint, right? So we don't have any requirement on the MailSim side. MailSim is like a couple hundred K. I think it's like really small, right? But it's probably how much for Outlook to run. The other part we just heard of is the XML processing might be taking a little bit more memory. So it's something that we can probably improve on. Because we load the sequence file and the operation file, right? So that takes a little bit more memory because we validate with the XSD and all that stuff. So that's something we can probably improve on. But for MailSim itself, there's not really any requirement for it. It's mostly for running maybe Outlook and doing other stuff.
So I did some ad hoc testing on this, and I know that this border is somewhere between 2 and 3 gig. But again, we need to work on this. We didn't.
Yeah, the binary itself is 80K. So it's really small. More binary, so it's not much.
But there's also .NET.
But there's .NET and then the XML processing, yes. Yeah. So those are the ones that we can probably improve on, so. Yes?
Are there any plans to extend this to other Office applications like Word and Excel? Because the basic principle is exactly the same. You just need the Office automation, and if you call the send wave function in Outlook, or if you call file open in Word, it's nearly the same. And you could use basic project structure just to simulate operation in other applications?
Great question. So the question was, can we automate other Office applications in the similar way? When was the first time we started discussing it? 2010? Somewhere around this. Now it's 2015. So from initial request to this discussion, 5 years.
So we can start talking about it.
So we can count your request.
Yeah, and I think Outlook's there's an easier
yes.
Workload to understand.
Yes.
Because we could talk to 5 different or 100 different people about what they want to see how they want to see the Office client automated, and it would look very different.
Mm-hmm.
Outlook, it's a little bit easier to kind of scope and set a plan.
Yeah. It's just you need to mimic, you need to simulate something that really happened in an organization.
Yeah. And also, the way there's also how much the application exposed to us, right? In this case, Outlook actually exposed the object model, so we can actually easily plug into it and control it, right? But even within Outlook, there are lots of operations you can get to through the programmatic interface. So you have to do, you know, UI's automation. So that's what I, you know, so we've been talking with the Outlook test team to try to figure out what they've done, and that's, you know, what we heard. So for
Yeah, we'd be interested to learn more. I'm guessing it's a lot of file I/O, check in, check out, co-op. Yeah. Absolutely.
Then I can use it as a basic and just extend it myself.
Correct.
Yes, but it's Outlook object model.
Yeah, but.
But yes, you can use other moving parts.
And we could potentially work together on something like that too.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Anyway. Yeah. So, Ben.
You ready?
Okay. All right. Cool. Yes. All right.